it's good for me to actually put all that together and into a way. If you've known me for a long time, well, if you knew me a long time ago, you're probably like, you know, when I was young, like, is there anything going on in that head? You know, I know you need to think that. So, you know, things are changing a little bit. I have a few good thoughts here and there, and every once in a while I have a good thought. But it's good for me to every once in a while put all that together in such a way that I can actually present it. So, I enjoy doing this, and I'm glad to be up here. My wife and child are not here this morning. They're both sick. Xander's got a cold that he's pretty much over. He's had a fever, and I think the fever is pretty much gone away, or he still had one this morning. He's very small. But just didn't want him to come and do that to everybody else. And then Samantha also, her throat's been kind of sore off and on. Like, not really, but not really sore, just kind of off and on. And so she went to the doctor finally yesterday, and she has mild strep. So she's on antibiotic for that. Supposed to be not contagious by exactly. I don't know exactly how that works. Like, you take an antibiotic for a day and you're not contagious. I don't know. Apparently, it's the way it goes. So, Matt, Chris might be able to fill us in a little more on that. No? So, I'm not sure if it'll be good later tonight or not, but we'll see. But it's because of Xander that I have these thoughts collected. Amazing how much you learn when you have kids, you know. But the things I want to relate to you today are things that I have learned, and I'm continuing to learn, and I'm sure will continue to learn for a long time now that I'm a father. It's interesting that a child is fully dependent upon his family, upon his parents, for everything. Of course, I've known that for a long time. You know, all their needs completely dependent upon the parent. You don't really become aware of that and really understand that until you become a parent. Is that true? And Samantha, and I'm sure Emily, it's the same way. They understand it better than me and you, right? Because they're taking care of you better. They're the full-time caregiver even when we're at work. But, you know, every need, whether it's clothing or food or shelter or if it's just comforting, if they need, you know, they need to be held and pat on the back like Chris is doing, you know, all of that is supplied by the parents. And they will make it known to you. If they have a need, you know it, don't you? If the child's hungry, you know it. If the child is hot or uncomfortable, you know, hot or cold or whatever, you know that something's wrong. If the child just needs to be held or needs to be comforted, you know. Now, sometimes you don't know exactly what they need. They just scream at you, and you're running around trying to find out what they need, and then they're over there like, be part of this place anyway. You don't know always what they need, but you start taking care of the needs, and then eventually you find out what it is, and everything's cool. So those are physical needs that children need from their parents. But when I look into Xander's eyes, and soon when I look into Campbell's eyes, I can see other needs that our children have, that really need to be supplied by their parents. These are not physical needs. You know, they're not the type of need that if they're not attended to immediately, they're going to cry about it. But they are very strong needs, and they need to be fulfilled by the parents. And it sickens me to see so many men and women in this nation become parents and not fulfill the responsibilities of parents. And it's up to us as Christians and as Christian parents to be the examples, to set the examples and to move away from the impurities and the dishonesty, to move away from the whole lackadaisical ways that we're raising our children to be responsible adults and actually display good Christian morals and then teach those things to our kids. And it's up to us. It's up to us to do that. So I want to focus on some of these needs this morning. That's what my lesson is about. Some of the needs that our children have that we need to supply to them as parents, not kids. You know, people, I know you don't have kids. So I want you to think, well, I don't have any children, so this doesn't apply to me. I'm going to switch off and, you know, not listen, okay? I want you to listen, okay? Because some of it still might apply to you, even though you don't have. So I beg for your attention. Now also, this does not come from my long-term expert experience as a father, because it's only been a year and a half from me, so I don't have that long-term experience. But these are just some things that I'm learning. First, and probably most important, our children need us as their parents for this, to resolve to stand up for what is right and then teach that to our children. And when I say resolve, when you resolve to do something, it's not like a quick decision that you just make on a whim and then you think about it for a short time and then after a little time it's forgotten. A New Year's resolution. That's not the kind of resolve I'm talking about. When you resolve to do something, you make a commitment on purpose. And your commitment is based on a solid foundation. You're making that commitment with a sound state of mind. And you consider what that commitment is going to require of you. And you are resolute in keeping that commitment. You are firmly planted. And you are grounded on that commitment. And nothing is going to make you shake. Nothing is going to make you move from that commitment that you made. That's what resolve means. So with that being said, I'm going to repeat that. Our children need us as their parents to resolve to stand up for what is right and then teach them how to do the same thing. Really, you need to have that resolve whether you're a parent or not, standing up for what's right. You need to resolve to do that whether you're a parent or not. Of course, when you become a parent, it's even that much more important, because now you're responsible for yourself, but you're also responsible for your child and training up that child and teaching that child things that they will need to know for their life. Becomes even much more important, especially for men. Because guys, God put the responsibility on us, didn't he? The responsibility and the spiritual direction of our household is put upon the Father. It's very important. There's a verse I know we're all familiar with, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they should be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates." And then further down in the chapter, he says, "You shall keep diligently the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right," listen to this, "you shall do what is right and what is good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you." And I believe that that passage definitely speaks to us today. Yes, it's in the Old Testament, but all of those concepts are taught in the New Testament, just not in a such concise paragraph. So that's why I read that one. Definitely applies to us. And we ought to have the word of the Lord on our hearts and teach it diligently to our children at every opportunity that we have. We ought to do what's good and what's right in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with us. Our children need that from us. When I look into Xander's eyes and I can see through his innocence that he needs that. He needs me to have that commitment. He needs my instruction. He needs to see Samantha's commitment. He needs Samantha's instruction. I think it's wonderful that here in this place we have a really incredible group. And I feel like when Xander comes here, he has me and Samantha, of course, as his parents, but he has a lot of other parents too looking after him. We have a lot of people here that are willing and able to look after and teach in the classroom, and I just really appreciate that. We love that. You know, Xander could be running around in the auditorium, you know, the way he does. He's running around and dancing and all that, and we're watching him, and then he runs through the kitchen and goes to goes to the other room. Well, he's fast, right? So he gets away with us. So he's away from us. So it takes us a few seconds to catch up. So we run up there and catch up with him. And it's, I mean, almost every time there's already somebody in there that has his eye on him, that's watching him. You know, he's always got somebody looking after him. You know, we appreciate that. We love that. And when it comes down to it, though, despite having so many parents, there is nothing that will replace the constant influence that he's going to get from his parents. Same for Maddox. Same for nothing will replace that. And again, the passage that I just read from Deuteronomy 6 says to do what is right and what is good in the sight of the Lord. So I want to focus for a second on what are some of these good and right things that we can do. And some of these things that we need to be teaching, as the pastor said, we need to be teaching these things to our children. So I've made up a list here, and this is not like a list straight out of the Bible, however, these things are taught about in Scripture, but just not in a list like this. So I've kind of compiled a list of what some of these good and right things to do. First of all, we need to stand up for Christ. We need to stand up for Christ and be proud of who we stand for. We need to take responsibility. God has given us as the parents responsibility for our children. Nobody else. We need to take that responsibility and do what we need to do for our families. You need to focus on loving your spouse. And in my opinion, it can be good for the children every once in a while, on occasion, to see the parents give each other a hug, or maybe even a kiss. I know, Jerry. I think it would be good for our children to see that. We need to live with honor, modeling to our children how to do the good, the right, and the honest thing, even though sometimes it might be less convenient or, you know, or difficult, more difficult to do. They need to see us doing that. We need to provide, specifically then, we need to provide for our families. We need to show and teach our children by example how to provide for family. And that requires work. And in teaching that, we can teach them a good work ethic. We need to teach our children that they will not always succeed in everything they do. That sometimes they will fail, and failing is okay. You just need to learn how to fail, and you need to learn from your mistakes. And that just because you failed in the past does not mean you're going to fail in the future. We need to teach our children about faith, and that faith is displayed through actions and through your works. We need to teach our children about integrity, and we need to teach our children by our example how to apologize, say you're sorry, and truly mean it when the time is appropriate. We need to teach our children, or we need to forgive others, and teach our children how to forgive, and also learn how to accept forgiveness when it's offered to us. That's just a small list. I'm sure the list could continue. But those are some things that I believe are these good and the right things that we need to be teaching our children and focused on in our families. And all these things, are any of these things things that happen by accident? All those things happen because you do them on purpose. And all those things you teach on purpose. For example, I mean, nobody stumbles upon integrity. You have integrity because you do it, because you are that way on purpose. Nobody just accidentally becomes faithful to God. You become faithful to God because you're doing that on purpose, and you're teaching that on purpose. I think we need to keep in mind, too, that the things we do on a daily basis, and what you do, and where you have your heart, and the things that you teach, have a direct impact on future generations. Your children, your children's children. Just to kind of give you a background from my family, and I don't say any of this to brag or anything. I come from parents that are faithful. On my dad's side, His parents were faithful. And on my grandmother's side, her parents were faithful, but it was my grandmother who converted my granddad. On my mom's side, the parents were faithful, especially their grandmother, who put on her big girl pants and took the kids to school, even though sometimes the grandfather took the pants to church. What did I say, school? Church. Even though sometimes my granddad didn't go, or for a long time he didn't go. On Samantha's side, her parents were faithful. Her grandparents on both sides were faithful. And I know that her great-grandparents on both sides were faithful. I know, again, I don't say that to brag. I'm grateful for that legacy. So we're teaching that. We're trying, hope and pray that we can be faithful and teach that to our kids. There might be some others in this room that come from a similar type of background. There might be some in this audience that don't have that type of background. You might say, well, Chris, I didn't come from that kind of family. Since I didn't come from that kind of family, and since I wasn't raised like that, my parents didn't teach me those things, I guess I'm just destined to be like that too, and I'm not going to live like that. There's no way for me to train my kids up like that. I don't believe that's true. And young folks, are you listening? Some of the things I'm about to say might apply in your situations and other people in the audience too. But they might not. I don't live in your family. I don't know exactly what your parents teach you on a regular basis. I have no idea. I don't know your family, your situation. A little bit, but not. I don't know what your parents are teaching you and all that. But I don't think it's necessarily true that even though you haven't been taught all your life, you haven't come from a legacy of, not legacy, the word necessarily, but your parents and grandparents, that kind of chain. In my opinion, you can become what's called a chain breaker. You can decide to live for Christ. And you can decide that you are going to teach your kids about honor, about integrity, about what it means to be faithful. You can resolve to break the chain. And you can be the one in your family who starts to leave a legacy. I want to use a few examples, Rich. Is it true or not that a big reason that you are here this morning is because your father was a chain breaker? Because your father decided, even though it was not in him, he was not raised in the church. Your father went to the military, was taught by a fella, and he didn't really accept it then, but later on he went back to his home and continued to study. But because of that influence of that one fella who he has still never met or anything, his father was impacted by that. And his father decided, I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm going to live for Christ. And look, because of that, Rich is here. And Rich's family was influenced. And now he has two faithful sons, and his grandkids are being raised in the right way. Because, and a big part of that is because your father was a chain breaker. Y'all see that? And now, look at the impact that, and I'm bragging on you, and you probably wouldn't appreciate this, but look at the impact that Rich has had now on this church, on the Roots program. What kind of impact has Rich had on you guys? I would say a significant impact, and the impact that he's had on the Roots program, I don't know the whole impact that Rich has had on the Roots program, and I don't think any of us really know. He just does things. Okay? Becky's the same way. And I asked their permission, by the way, to use them as examples in this lesson. But here we have a chain breaker. Her parents did not raise her in church. By her own decision, she decided, I'm going to live like this. I'm going to break first one in her family to do it. Because of her look, what kind of impact does she have?
I'm sorry, it's not in the script.
Oh, we don't want to do this. I end up and cry every time. But because of her, look at the impact that she's had. The impact she's had on the program, the impact she's had on you guys. I mean, again, we don't know what all she does. I don't know what all she does. I mean, she just does stuff, right? She wouldn't have found Dave. We all know she could have done better, okay? guy who was raised in the church, obviously, who comes from the legacy type, you know, that chain of family. But she, in her family, she was the first. She was the chain breaker. And there might be others in this audience who don't know, you know, your whole story. My judge, that's a pretty incredible story, doesn't he, Gloria? Sean? He still has a huge impact. Some of you guys don't even know who my judge is, but he still has a huge impact on this one of the one here. Okay, gotta move on from that. Alright, let's look at Paul, the scripture. We have Paul. Was Paul a chain breaker?
Oh, yeah.
Paul was raised in a very strong Jewish family. And one day on the road to Damascus, his life changed. That day on the road to Damascus, he became a chain breaker in his family. This is the guy that used to, he was on his way to drag Christians out and kill them, persecute them. And that day he became a chain breaker. And even though he didn't have kids, he didn't have a wife, Paul. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have kids. He didn't leave a legacy in that way. But we still have, because of his dedication, because of what he did in his writings, he left a legacy that we're still following today. So it can be done. You can break the chain. You just have to determine. You have to make up your mind that you are responsible for your own actions. And you have to say to yourself that even though my family has not, might not have taught me or had that influence on me or been teaching these things to me all my life, I'm going to be strong and I'm going to decide to follow Christ and I'm going to be the chain breaker. I have decided to teach my children so that I, with God leading me, can begin to leave a legacy. And you can do it. You just have to make that resolve. Do it. And my question for you, I'm not ending here, but my question for you is, if you're the one that needs to break the chain, when are you going to do it? What day is going to be that day you decide I'm going to be a chain breaker? Is that today? If not today, then when are you going to decide to do that? That's the first need that our children have that I feel like is very important. That we resolve to stand up for what is right and then teach them how to do the same thing. Your children need you to do that. Xander needs me to do that. Another need that our children have from their parents, that really can only come from their parents, is, I've talked about this before, our children need their parents to live with contentment. I know we took two full Sunday mornings like a year ago when I was teaching the finance class and we talked about contentment. But now I'm coming to realize that it's something that's important for us to do as individuals, but it's important for us as parents to do that because it does have an impact on our kids. Because how many times are the needs of children neglected because adults and parents spend so much time and effort working to provide more stuff? How much stress do we add to our lives? happens for the sake of buying and having more stuff? And how many marriage relationships are strained because of this stuff? I think everybody knows what I do in my business. You know, I have this little business, do blinds and shades and shutters and all that. So what I do for the most part, I go into a lot of houses, right? So I can see a lot of different families and how the families work. And it's interesting to see that. And I go into the house, and really what I do is just, the customer tells me what kind of functionality they want for their blind or shade or shutters in terms of light control and privacy and these kinds of things. They tell me what they need, what they're looking for, and then I can kind of direct them to what type of product they want. You know, maybe this will fit in your budget and they'll do this. And most of the time, that is a very satisfying thing. Like, I enjoy providing that service to people. And then I go and sell them the product and then install the product. That's the way it goes. Most of the time, it's very fun and satisfying, like I said. Sometimes it's not so enjoyable. Me and Dave and Jared actually sit around here for a little while the other night talking about some stories we have and installing some products in various customers' houses. But sometimes you just see a family dynamic. And I'm going to give you an example of one family in particular. Like, it hurts my heart to see some of these families. So like I said, I'm in the house, and I'm in the house for, it depends on how many they're wanting or how detailed it is. So when I'm in the house doing the measuring appointment and giving them the estimate and all that, I can be in the house for an hour or two or three or sometimes 4 hours in their house. And then when I'm installing products, we're in the house for a while, right? And sometimes we can see kind of what goes on in the family. There's just one family. You can just feel it. It's like the whole attitude or the whole dynamic between the husband and the wife was strained. A lot of stress there. The children, while I was there, were being very disrespectful. And that disrespect was not going, it was not being corrected. They were just being disrespectful without any correction. Their children had, like, iMacs. All of them had an iMac. They were all had the MP3 players and everything, you know, all the fancy gizmos. And as I went into install the products, I didn't have an installer that day. It was just me. They were all playing on their little gizmos and listening to their headphones. And you just tell. Oh, and when I was giving them the original estimate, I definitely got the sense that even though they had all these things, like, the money was very tight. The money was very tight because they had all these things. And it's just like, they were getting shutters. And I'm thinking, you already have blinds in your house that look fine and function well. Why do you even take this down and replace it with these expensive shutters? Well, it's because they were satisfied with the blinds, right? They wanted something better. It wasn't good enough. And later on, they actually told me, this was through Lowe's job. They said, and they just mentioned this to me. They weren't, you know, just, they just mentioned it. They were like, yeah, we were able to put it on our Lowe's credit card and we got an extra 5% off. You can just tell, overall, you can just tell that so much of their time and their work and so much of their effort was put into maintaining an outward appearance. Just this whole facade. You know, but if you were in their house for any length of time, you could see it was all breaking down. They just had this, you know, facade they were trying to put out to the world. And it was having a dramatic effect on their marriage and their relationship with their kids. And I hope I'm looking at my notes and not distracting. I just would get lost if I didn't have it. It was having a dramatic effect on them. And if they were to just back away a little bit from their stuff and just put a little more attention into what's really important, you know, like their marriage and the kids, it would just relieve so much stress, you know. But we just get caught up in these things, having things. And I know that's kind of an extreme example, but I think even still, sometimes we get caught up in things. I just want to make sure we understand, folks, this is not about the things we have. It is not about an outward appearance and maintaining an outward appearance. Young people, again, let me hear you, or please listen. It is not about guys put this much attention on that. I'm just saying, young people in general put a lot of attention to those types of things. You know, and it's not about video game systems that you have. And I know how it is. You know, like when you're in school, it wasn't that long ago when I was in school, and if you're not wearing the right type of clothes and you're not wearing the right brand of shoes, you get made fun of, right? Anybody ever been made fun of? Or I know I was. I made fun of the clothes I wore and the shoes. Sean Judge still makes fun of me for the white Canada shoes and the yellow shoelaces and the black and purple shirt I wore when we went to Cincinnati. Right? I was in sixth grade, okay? A long time ago. And this is just a joke we have between us. He's not really being serious about it. Oh, he is. where am I? But some people take it seriously. Some people from a very young age in life, they think, well, everything must be about the stuff that I have. You know, what I drive and what I wear and the house I live in and yada, yada, yada. And they waste their lives seeking those things, and it dramatically affects their family and their relationships and their family. I think there's a lot to be said for modesty. Let's look at a couple verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. I'm going to read through 10. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and in this servant we will carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I think that verse is very clear. It says a lot of things. And I like that first part, that following the things of God, along with being content, is a great gain. Let's look at the Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Remove falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and profane the name of the Lord. Saying, don't give me, God, just give me what I need. Don't give me too much that I'm full and I forget about you. Just give me what I need. Don't give me too little so that I have these tendencies to be dishonest and maybe steal or do other things. Just give me what I need. Not either extreme. I just need what I need. Don't give me more or less. And God's promise, he will always provide what we need. Let's look at one more in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, 2. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, I think of that verse, and I think of when Brandon preached a year or two ago, and he made the point that the apostles, that Jesus was about to leave. John 16, 17, somewhere in there. Jesus was about to leave, and he's telling the apostles, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send you a comforter. And sure enough, when Jesus left, the comforter came. Of course, that was the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know, sometimes, this is Brandon. Brandon said, I think we might not understand the Holy Spirit. We might be too comfortable. Have we made our lives too comfortable that we have no need of a comforter. Do we have too many good things that we don't feel like we don't need God? We don't need, to separate ourselves. Does that make sense? And I look at this verse, and it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord is my helper. He just got done saying, don't be covetous. Be content with what you have. The Lord's going to be your helper. Just be content. The Lord's going to be your helper. Don't fear. Man can't do anything to you if the Lord is your helper. So what is it called? Well, we just said it. What is it called when we look at our culture standards? When we're looking at what other people have, and we want to have those things in our life, and we want to provide those things to our family, what is that called? Covet. Being covetous. Okay? Coveting those things. And of course, we have all kinds of warnings in Scripture about being covetous and not coveting and things like that. I have several verses. I'm going to skip through that. Ultimately, we are not measured by the things that we own. And the material things that we have is not what our lives consist of. And guys, talk to the guys for a second. Again, it's ultimately our responsibility to provide for our parents, correct? Yeah, parents, for our family, right? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and become worse than an unbeliever. So the guys, God has put that responsibility on us. And yes, we're supposed to provide for our family's needs, but sometimes I think we kind of factor in our ability to provide for our family's needs by how well we can go above and beyond what our family needs. Internally, we rate ourselves by that. If we can go, if we're driving a nice car, if we're living in a nice house, we rate ourselves, okay, I'm providing for my family really well if I'm providing all these other things. But these things don't come free, do they? And it's definitely a sacrifice. And a lot of times, the sacrifice, we're sacrificing time with our kids. We work the extra hours. But even though we're working the extra hours, we still want to have all of our hobbies too. So between the work and the hobbies that we try to do, we sacrifice time with our kids. There's a fellow that was one of my customers that it's one last story. I grew up with the mother, like his wife. Anyway, I was talking to him. He's an insurance agent, and he's a real estate agent, and he also has bought these two HUD houses, and he's personally doing the work on all the HUD houses, or both of them. And so he does that in addition to being a real estate, doing real estate. But when he comes home, he has all these hobbies. Like he likes to take pallets and break down a pallet and make like furniture. And it's really cool what he does. It's pretty handy. And I'm like, Josh, how do you do all this stuff? How do you get all this stuff done? He's like, well, I don't sleep. I just don't sleep. And this requires a lot of time and a lot of I'm missing dinner a lot. He said that's what successful people do, right? That's how you are successful. You have to make those types of sacrifices. It's like, well, it depends on how you define successful. And some of you might be thinking, well, Chris, don't you work hard? Don't you work like a lot of hours? And I think, well, yeah, I do. But I sacrifice hobbies. You won't see me on the baseball team or playing basketball or whatever. I work a lot of hours, but when I come home, I'm with my family. Not my friends, just support myself. But if you feel like I need any correction, just let me know. I'll be happy to accept your advice. Anyway, we just need to understand and be careful to understand the difference between providing for our families as the Bible describes and living in overabundance. These are just two needs We need to stand up for what's right and teach our children to do the same thing. And we need to live contently. Those are just two needs. There's a lot of other needs that I'm not going to have time to talk about today. One of which I would like to talk about is that our children need our time, which I kind of got into there for a minute. But I want to go into that. I just don't have time. But in closing, I want to ask you this question. What kind of resolve do you have? My wife and I have a sign that's above our door. We've had it. It was given to us as a wedding gift. And it's been above our door for every place that we've moved. For the first 4 years, we moved like 4 or 5 times. This is the way it goes, right? But we have this sign above our door. And it started to mean a whole lot more to me as time goes on. And it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And of course, that came from Joshua, right? Joshua chapter 24. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." My question is, do you have the kind of resolve that Joshua had? You and your house, are you going to serve the Lord? Joshua, I mean, listen from that passage, that Joshua had made the decision, he had resolved to serve the Lord, and he and his family, if he was the only family doing it, he was going to do it. He was resolved, he was determined to do that. What kind of resolve do you have? And it's never too late to start doing the right thing. If you need to be the chain breaker in your family, past failure doesn't mean future failure. You can resolve right now to begin to live for Christ. And this is a great encouragement to do that God wants all of us to be successful. And He's the one that's willing to equip you as long as you're willing to accept what He will equip you with. He'll equip you with everything. So, if you have any needs right now, if you need anything,